to Light of the Word Radio. I'm Matthew, filling in for Pastor Eugene. I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. One of my fondest memories as a child at Thanksgiving was sitting around the table with my grandfather at the head, playing the card game Cribbage, a game we still play today when the family gathers together. One thing I can't always remember on Thanksgiving is the actual giving of thanks to God, who gave us everything we had. The actual giving of thanks seemed to get lost in the business of cooking, playing games, and watching sports. Now let's listen in today as Pastor Jim teaches us how important it is to give thanks to God, and on more than just one day a year.
If you want to turn to Psalm 69, find the 30th verse, and then please stand with me as we honor God with the reading of His Word. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Lord, speak through me. To these that You have gathered, Lord, speak through me, that Your Spirit would take those things, and each heart here would turn to You in thanksgiving. That each person here, Lord, would honor and glorify You. I thank You. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Now, I imagine I am probably the only person in here who gets a stinky attitude from time to time, right? Let me rephrase that. I'll let Cynthia join me. Cynthia and I are the only ones here that get a stinky attitude from time to time, right? Wrong. Okay. It happens to us, doesn't it? But you know what that really is? That kind of an attitude is pride. When we think that things are going all wrong, and woe is me, we have turned the focus onto ourselves and not to God. The unfortunate thing is that happens to me way too often. I like it best when it happens at a time where nobody else gets to see it. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works sometimes, does it? Sometimes we get into one of those moments, one of those attitudes, and everybody gets to see it. Sometimes we want to just go cover our heads, don't we? Just go cover our head and hide because our attitude has affected, or maybe I should say infected, people around us. And it has brought them down. That is not the place for a Christian to be, is it? That's not the way for a true believer of Jesus Christ to be. We need to turn to Him when it feels like things are going wrong in our day, in our week, in our morning, in our electronics. But again, those things bother me because my attitude has come off of God. My vision has come off of God. My hope has come off of God and fallen on myself. And it affects everyone around me. I was looking at Romans chapter 1. And this is a long text, but I'm going to read this whole thing. Beginning in the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, We need to be thankful, don't we? We need to be thankful for those things that are going on in our lives. Even when we have hard times going on and difficult things going on in our lives, we can still be thankful if we know Jesus Christ, can't we? We can be thankful that we know Him. I often hear people say, and my wife and I, Cynthia and I, we often will say, we don't know how people get through, you name the thing, without Jesus, without Christ. We don't know how they get through because we know that when we go through tough things, sometimes we're not leaning on Jesus. He's carrying us. And that's the only way we can get through it. And as soon as we, in the midst of that, look at ourselves instead of Christ, it becomes much more difficult. It becomes much harder. It becomes much heavier. And then this verse 21 in 1 Romans here, it stands out to me. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. You realize that our giving thanks to God, that thanksgiving is a part of knowing and honoring God as God? Because if we do not recognize His hand in everything that goes on in our lives, it's because we do not see and know Him. When we begin to know who He is and know what He teaches and know what He expects and know exactly what His love is, even in the most difficult of circumstances, we can find place to be thankful. Now, being thankful is not saying thank you to God and growling at the world. That's not what it is. What that is, when you say thank you to God and growl at the world, what you're doing with that is you are trying to use some sort of superstition that God wants to hear these words and these are magic words that are going to cause God to do some magical thing that you want. But they aren't coming from the heart. Because a heart that is truly thankful to God is going to be a heart that's thankful to people around them, isn't it? And for people around them. Because it's going to be a heart that knows who God is. So this 21st verse just jumps out to me that there are so many people who may say with their lips that they believe God, they love God, they follow God. They may say it with their attendance in church, but their hearts are far from God because of their behavior. Yesterday we were in Topeka at the Natural Grocers and there was a cologne that was witch hazel cologne. I thought, I wonder what that smells like. And so the first one I picked up had the little thing on top of it, so when you squeeze it, nothing comes out. So I picked up another one and tried it, same thing. Well, the third one I was sure probably did too, is I popped it open and squeezed it, it went whoosh, and squirted all over me. Thankfully, Cynthia said it didn't smell too bad. What happens when we get squeezed? What comes out of us? What comes out of us is what's in our heart, isn't it? When we get squeezed, when the pressure is on, what is in our heart is what comes flowing out of our mouth and our attitude and our actions. We can claim to follow Jesus Christ all day long. We can write about it. We can spend our time in church. But if when you are squeezed, what comes flying out of your mouth is worldly, there's a disconnect somewhere, don't you think? There's a disconnect because you have too much attention and focus on yourself. So we are to give thanks. If we don't give thanks because we do not honor God, then the rest of that 21st verse says, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. I remember one day I was at a convenience store, and as I do so often in a store when I'm in a line, I strike up a conversation with the person in front of me or behind me. And we had a conversation about God. And this conversation, he took it directly to church and began to tell me that he did not believe in the public church or the organized church, how he believed that you worship by yourself at home. Well, there's one big problem with that, isn't there? That's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures tell us to gather together. And when we come together, it tells us what to do. So I was explaining that to him. But of course, he had an answer, not a biblical answer, but an answer for everything I had to say that would point to the need of a Christian to be in church. And so what was really happening is as he was giving me all these worldly answers, he was showing me that he was claiming to be wise when he was a fool. Because only a fool does not know that God calls us to gather together. This is why it's been such a major issue for churches like John MacArthur's church. They know that they're called to worship. And when they're closing down churches all around us, we're not following after God. Now, the online stuff, that is wonderful for the purpose of it, okay? And the purpose of it is not to become the gathered church. The purpose of it is for those who are at greater risk or cannot get here to be able to still take part in the service. But when that becomes the church, it has failed in its purpose. So we gather to make much of God. We gather to give thanks. You know, this week is Thanksgiving. And with everything we see wrong with our country, with everything we see that is an issue within our country, we have more reason to be thankful than any nation in the world, don't we? If everything politically went against the way you think it should go, we still have more reason to be thankful than any nation in the world. So we need to give thanks to God. There's a song in the hymnal. The song goes like this. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done, give thanks. What a beautiful song, huh? A beautiful chorus. When we are weak, when we are poor, we can say we are strong and we are rich because of Jesus Christ, if He is our Savior. So back to where I started. Oh, how I pity those who go through trials and tribulation without Jesus Christ. How do they find hope to get through it? It's nothing more than a wish. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, we're to give thanks. Let me give you a few numbers that I came across this morning. If you have food in a refrigerator and clothes on your back and a roof over your head and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. That puts you in the top 25% of the entire world if you have those things I just listed. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the dangers of a battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world because they've experienced those things. If you can attend church meetings without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. Do we have a reason to give thanks? We do, don't we? We have much reason to give thanks. Revelation 11, verse 17 says this, we give thanks to You, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for You have taken Your great power and begun to rule. We give thanks to Him because of who He is and who He has been and who He will always be. We give thanks to Him. There's a story about a missionary. The story goes like this. He was a medical missionary and he was working in India. And these are his words. I was a medical missionary for many years in India, and I served a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they matured. This missionary developed a process to stop the progressive blindness. Many people came to him to have him perform the surgery, the operation that it took to turn this around on them. As they would leave from the surgery, they would realize that their sight had been restored and that they would be able to keep their vision when so many had gone blind. The missionary noticed that not one person, not one, but hundreds that he did this for, said thank you. Not one. He said, but there was a reason for it. He said that thank you wasn't a part of their vocabulary. Instead, what they would say was a word that is very much like the word used to give thanks in the Hebrew. They would say, I will tell your name. And so from person to person, they would tell the name of this missionary who had fixed their eyes, who had given them the sight. And he became very famous in that region because of his name and what he had done. When we're giving thanks to God, isn't that what we're doing? We're telling his name. Because it is he who has given us all these things that we have more than all the rest of the world. It is he who gives us the very breath that we will take for the rest of this day and for every day that we have lived. It is he who allows us to wake up in the morning. You woke up because God gave that to you. We need to make much of his name. The words, for his name's sake, are a part of Scripture, aren't they? We're going to tell of his great gifts and benefits to us for his name's sake. I was trying to figure out how to pronounce the Hebrew word that is translated for his name or give thanks. This word, it means so much more than just our American thank you. In fact, in America, sometimes we say thank you and it absolutely means nothing. But this word in the Hebrew, we would spell it out as Y-A-D-A-H. So it looks kind of like yada. This word goes so much deeper. It is an acknowledgement of where those things came from. It is an acknowledgement of God. It is an acknowledgement of his greatness. So what are some of those things that we should acknowledge God for? What are some of those things that we should point out to people and thank him for? How about his power? Power to give us those things. It is the same power that split the Red Sea. Moses didn't split it. So many times I hear someone say how Moses put up his arms and split the Red Sea. He's not the one that did that. God did that. I've heard so many people talk about David slaying Goliath. How did David slay Goliath? It's not only the numbers were against him, it was impossible. God did it through him, didn't he? And the list of things go on and on. That same power that lifted Joseph from the pit to number two of all Egypt is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave you new life. New life in him, if you believe. So we give thanks for that power. We give thanks for the knowledge. God has all knowledge and he opens up the heavens and he gives us a little bit, doesn't he? Gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. God is all sovereign. Talking about going through hard times and hard things, how much harder would it be if we believe something could happen apart from God? If we believe that some tragic thing could happen apart from God, how horrible would that be? But we know that nothing can come upon us that God has not already looked into and addressed. Satan couldn't attack Job until God gave him permission. And we can't be attacked without the permission of God. Why would he allow that? For his glory's sake, because he is sovereign. In Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12, it says, you turned my wailing into dancing. You have removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. In the midst of hard, hard things, have you ever experienced going from the great grief of wailing to rejoicing? Our hearts turn from wailing, from sackcloth, to joy in dancing. So we give thanks for these things. You know, the strength of God should produce joy in us. That dancing, that excitement. Because God has never left us abandoned. Never. We stay close to him. More than any other reason for you and I to give thanks is the fact that if you believe, he has given that. If you are his, it's because he bought you with a price. Not because of how good you are. Not because of anything you did, but because of who he is. Psalm 118, I'm going to read two verses here out of this Psalm, verse 21 and verse 28. I give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. You are my God, and I will exalt you. He has given this. He is the author of salvation. And he has chosen you if you are saved. He has chosen you if you are his. God answers our prayers, our pleas. Because of the salvation that he has given us, he offers us forgiveness. This is where I started out this morning. I needed forgiveness for my attitude. A sure way to get my attitude the wrong direction and for me to get my focus off of God is for me not to get enough sleep. But don't we all? When we aren't getting the sleep we need and we're taking our focus off of God and putting it on ourselves, we become who we do not want to be. How many times have you said or done something and as it was coming out of your mouth or as you were doing that activity, you thought, oh, why did I do that? Why did I say it? That was not right. We give thanks to God because he has forgiven us. He has forgiven us. Abby and John cleaned out the three refrigerators in the dining room. And they had the drawers and the shelves and everything off. And they're scrubbing them. And they said, well, there's this stain and this stain and this stain. We have scrubbed and scrubbed and it won't come out. That's just the way it is, right? But when God cleanses us, when he washes us clean and forgiveness, we are made right before him. Not because we deserve the forgiveness. Boy, if he waited to forgive us till we deserved it, what forgiveness would we ever have? He washes us clean because of who he is. Again, another reason for us to give thanks, right? In the Psalms, it tells us 63 times to either give thanks to God or give thanksgiving. Now, what are the Psalms? They are probably the most emotional part of the whole Scripture, aren't they? They are a heart of Scripture. When David and the psalmist, they're pouring out their heart, their fears, their excitements, their rejoices. And that many times it tells us. It's a mighty important thing, isn't it, for us to give thanks. I wanted to read just a couple of those. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Psalm 9, verse 1. It's entitled, I will recount your wonderful deeds. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. Psalm 26 and verse 7. Proclaiming thanks aloud and telling all the wondrous deeds. And it goes on and on, psalm after psalm. But it's not just in the Psalms. Throughout all of Scripture, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, we are told to give thanks to God. You think there's anything behind it? You think there's anything for us to take note of? We need to be given thanks. Who does not give thanks to the Lord? Those who do not understand who he is. That's who does not give thanks. Back to our verse in Romans. Though they knew God, they did not worship him or honor him as God. What a sad thing for somebody to know who God is, to believe in their mind of his might, his power, his salvation, but never know him enough in their heart to worship him, to never know him enough in their heart to give him thanks. Aren't you thankful to him that you know enough to give thanks? So this week, our nation calls Thursday Thanksgiving Day. I remember when I was in grade school, taking some paper, instruction paper. I remember some years making a little Indian man and little feathers and wearing a celebrate Thanksgiving as we learned about Thanksgiving, learned about the pilgrims. I remember some years taking that same type of construction paper and making a little pilgrim's hat. Anyone else do that? We did, didn't we? All ages. We learned about Thanksgiving. We learned about the pilgrims. What was it that the pilgrims were thankful for with that very first Thanksgiving in 1621? The harvest. They had arrived in 1620. Most of them stayed on the ship throughout the first winter, and half of them died. When they came off the ship, they were met there by Native Americans who came alongside them, and the harvest that they helped to produce was plentiful. And they celebrated that first harvest by giving thanks to God. Then, as a country, the United States of America, in 1779, there was the first proclamation of Thanksgiving. This was the first proclamation. It was made by George Washington. I want to read that proclamation, where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly to implore His protection and favor. Whereas both the Houses of Congress have by joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him a sincere and humble thanks for the kind care and protection of the people of this country. George Washington. That was the first proclamation of Thanksgiving. Then President Jefferson came, and he decided he didn't want any part of that. So our nation, for a number of years, did not celebrate Thanksgiving. And then it came and it went, and it came and it went, until finally it was proclaimed and made a national holiday. All of our lives, all of us here, we have celebrated Thanksgiving, haven't we? As a child, I remember the family gathering out at the grandparents' farm in Zinedale, Kansas. And we would play in the field and the barn and all over out there on the farm. We would have just a really good time. As we got a little older, we'd get to take our guns out there. We'd all get to shoot our guns at the farm. But I remember all the family coming in, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles. And I remember the food. I had two favorite things to do. One was to sneak a piece of skin from the turkey. And the other is my grandfather loved mincemeat pie. No one else in the family did, but my grandfather and me. So I would get all the mincemeat pie I would want on Thanksgiving, as long as we were at their house. I remember that well. I remember the family gathering around several tables. I'm sure some of you remember the adult table and the kids' table. We'd gather around the tables, and we would enjoy a feast. But rarely, in fact, only once do I remember, in all of my years growing up, a prayer of thanksgiving. You see, we celebrate a holiday without doing what the holiday is about. We've seen where the scriptures call us to give thanks. We see where our first president, George Washington, recommended to every single one of us to give thanks to God. But somewhere along the line, we lost that, didn't we? Well, I am calling on you to give thanks to God. Not just on Thanksgiving, but every day of your life, if you are His. Now, if you are not His, you don't have a lot of reason to give thanks to Him. But if you are His, you have every reason to give thanks. And there is nothing that should stop you. There is nothing that should hinder you. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people, proclaim that His name is exalted.
It truly is amazing when you stop to think about all the things God has done for those who believe. The grace of God shown to us in the saving power of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing we could ever be given, and to receive life undeserved should make all of us truly thankful. If you have been blessed by this ministry and would like to show your support for Light of the Word Radio, you can make a contribution by visiting us on our website, www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. You can also reach out to us on the phone by calling 1-800-416-9352 or by writing to Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and the hearing of His Word.